I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We've been speaking about healing mostly this Lent, dedicated to the Holy Child Jesus, the doctor of the sick. There are some things to note about the way our Savior heals the sick. First of all, Monsignor Knox says this, it seems that our Lord is almost reluctant, as though you had to pull the miracle out of him. And this, I think, because our Lord prefers the purity of faith. Unless you see signs and wonders, you believe not. He told the people that after he healed at a distance, without ever going there, the son of the royal official at Capernaum. Our Lord is almost reluctant to exercise his divine power because he knows how easily people are impressed and how quickly they forget. Secondly, our Lord always heals quietly. There's a little conversation. He takes the person apart. What can I do for you? Or in the case of the hemorrhaging woman, one little gesture, one touch, and then she's healed. Or our Lord might make mud out of his saliva and then apply it to the eyes. But it's always some little ceremony, a little conversation, a little gesture apart. It isn't on a stage. Our Lord will have no razzmatazzle. That kind of stuff is for the world. That's for the devil. Simon Magus was trying to get up something like that when he thought he could buy Simon Peter's powers. That's all from the devil. Our Lord heals in such a quiet, discreet way that it almost seems that he is not healing us. Do you pray for healing? I suppose most of us do. We emphasize that. We pray for the healing of the sick. I have a little list. I update it from time to time. And there's always somebody new, it seems, each few days, each week. You probably pray for someone who is near and dear to you, someone you've been asked to pray for. Most of you are on the little rosary chain that we have. You get the word, and then you'll say a rosary for the intentions that are given to you. You pray for yourself, of course, when you're sick. Often enough, when we pray, some kind of a healing does occur. Sometimes it is so quiet and imperceptible that you'd almost think, was I healed? Did she get better? And then the answer is, well, yes. And that's just the same as in the gospel. You'd almost not notice it. I mean, in a worldly human way, except for the strength of your faith. But when it seems that healing doesn't come, I mentioned this on Sunday in the sermon, you might wonder whether your faith was strong enough or not. Because belief seems to be very much a component part of any kind of healing from our Lord. One time, there was a man in the Gospels whose son was terribly thrown about, torn, abused by devils. And he begs our Lord on his knees for healing. If you can do anything for me, he says to our Lord, please do it. And then our Lord says back to him again, if you can believe, O Lord, I believe, he cries out, help thou my unbelief. That's a very beautiful and a very appropriate prayer. Some people might take this to mean, as I mentioned on Sunday, that if you really believe, you'll get the healing or the grace or the intention answered. But of course, it's not so simple as that. Because if there's anything that's on the complicated side, it's this healing our Blessed Savior gives us. Our Blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, God and man, when he knelt in Gethsemane and prayed, "Father, let this chalice pass from me." He was certainly sincere, and he was certainly asking to be delivered from a certain suffering. Not so much we know from the suffering of the Passion and the death, but the bearing of the Passion and the death with the thought that so many souls, regardless, would be lost. "Let this chalice pass from me," he prays three times. That release, that passing of the bitter chalice, never came. Does that mean that our Lord's faith was not strong enough? God forbid. He is God himself, God and man both. He went on, though, to suffer and to die. That does not mean that our Lord's prayers were not answered. Our Lord, in the first sorrowful mystery, received a miracle of healing. The same way that anyone who prays, and most people for whom you will pray, receive a miracle of healing. Our Lord, like us in all things except sin, there he is exhausted, prone against the ground or his face buried in a rock, covered with a sweat of his own blood, that close to death. He cannot bear it anymore. His soul is overwhelmed in anguish. And then comes great Raphael from heaven. His name means the healing of God, or perhaps it was Gabriel, whose name means the strength of God, and this angel comforts him and communicates to his human nature special divine strength so that he will not die, so that he may go on and do God's will and die when and where the Father has decreed. Isn't that the same kind of grace that is given to all of us? Few are they who are going to be able to take up their crutches and walk. At least not instantaneously. But is there a single one, if he makes his agony in the garden and prays three times, especially with the rosary beads in hand, who will not receive the visit of an angel and strength from God? So much so that Bishop Challoner comments in the Gospel of the Agony in the Garden that our Lord, for all that he went through, was refreshed by his prayer. That's the kind of healing our Lord got in the first sorrowful mystery. Remember it. And that's the kind of healing he offers to us, his children, still today. There is a strong relationship, then, between faith and healing. And healing is never, ever, ever just for the body, if not for the soul first. Our Lord always says, seeing in these different miracles we've been talking about this Lent, our Lord always says, "Go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you." Remember, in the Latin, it means the same thing. He never says, "I have healed you," or "I have saved you." Such is the humility of the God-man. He says, "Your faith did this." Isn't that a wonderful thing? Imagine what the value of the gift of faith must be. What a precious, precious gift it is, truly eternal. And no wonder sometimes that this gift of faith overflows into healing of the soul and then healing even of the body, the spiritual and the physical, always going together imperceptibly. But that's the key word, I think. You'd have to have faith, and you'd have to be paying attention, because you'd almost miss it. Because our Lord is not a showman. Our Lord will work so quietly, just as he came this evening at the consecration, you'd almost miss him if you weren't paying attention. I note with interest some of the great miracles of Lourdes did not happen like that. 1, 2, 3. There was one stage, and then about 6 hours passed, and then it was another stage, and then finally the healing was complete. Our Lord always works in kind of a quiet way. So you have to pay attention, and you have to have faith, or else it wouldn't strike you, not at all. Our Lord's fear in all of this, when he vouchsafes a miracle, is that people will believe because they've seen signs and wonders. And people are still looking for that today. There are a lot of poor, poor heretics for whom that's the substance of their Sunday worship and the essence of their religion. Some signs and wonders, some emotional high, they can scrape up for themselves. When you find yourself on the opposite end of the spectrum, waiting for some angel of God to be so good as to scrape you off the floor because of your emotional, physical, or spiritual low, remember that he went before you. And this is how our blessed Savior prayed, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.